So we have looked a little bit about smiling is my favorite. 2 weeks ago, we looked and saw the reality that many times what we think is we think that, listen, I'm a happy person. I'm full of joy. But the only reason I don't express that, the only reason that most of the time you don't see me smiling is I got something going on in my life. And as soon as that drama is over, then I'm going to be smiling. And we expose that for what it is. That's a deception. That's our enemy tricking you. Because here's what you go. You'll go from that drama to another drama. I was asking you, how many of your life is just goes perfect? You go from perfection to perfection to perfection. See, listen, that's what I thought. And if you raise your hand, you're lying. Amen. Right? You know what I mean? But I'm not talking about lying until next week. But anyway, I'm not talking about lying next week. I'm just saying that what it is it's a trick. It's a trick to what we said is that is a recipe for misery. And it's a trick that you would just go always thinking. You know what? It's like that carrot that's, you know what? You ever see a dog just chasing the tail? How many know they're never going to catch the tail? Because every time they move, the tail moves. You know what I mean? How many know? So it's that same thing. You're thinking as soon as this is over, but it's just a trick to always get you to live a miserable life, to never get you to smile. And you're always justifying, no, I'm not. I'm a happy person. I just never smile. No, that's not exactly true. And then last week, we looked at, we went a little deeper and we said, okay, so if that's true and that is true, what is the foundation? Why is Paul in jail and he's describing to you what's going on, but the only thing he describes to you is good things that are resulting from him being in jail. You don't hear about the smell in the jail. You don't hear about the conditions of the jail. You don't hear about how uncomfortable it is. You don't hear about how cruel the jailers are to him. You don't hear about any of that. You don't hear about the food. You don't hear about any of that. Now, you do know some things about him in jail, but all you know is that because he's in jail, that there's all these people that are working the jail that are now being influenced for Christ. And you know that. And that influence even is reaching up to high people. You know that. And you know that these people that aren't in jail, these Christians that aren't in jail, now they're more bolder than they ever have been because they recognize, hey, look at Paul's example. He's still hanging tough. And he's in jail. I need to be more tough because I'm outside of jail. That's all you know. Now, why is that? How can you be in misery? How can you be joyous in a miserable situation? Well, here's how. In him you live and move and have your being. See, if you're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, If you'll simply read your pastor, if I read my Bible, I'll be happy. This is deep. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not trying to be negative, but if you just start to form a habit of reading your Bible every day, if you start forming a habit of getting closer to Jesus Christ, the Bible says draw close to him and he'll draw close to you. You know what I mean? You talk to him and he'll talk to you. He wants a relationship with you. He stands at the door and knocks. He wants to hang out with you. He wants to talk to you all day long. You know what? And when you're connected to him, because he is good, all good things come down from the Father of lights. So if you start hanging out with him, you know what? You ever been around somebody who says dude all the time? Dude, what's up, dude? Dude. And you never even used to say that. And all of a sudden you go to somebody, hey, what's up, dude? You go, like, ooh, why did I say that? Here's why you said that, because you were hanging out with that dude all the time that said dude. Is that not right? You say, what's your point? Your point is, when you start hanging around with Jesus, you know what? Because he's so good, guess what? Because he's so optimistic, because he's so full of joy, the Bible says, in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. That'll start rubbing off on you. And so Paul is in the middle of a mess, and yet all you know is good things. And you can be the same way. Today, can we go a little deeper? I'm asking, can we go a little deeper? I love the story of the, remember the guy, there was four guys, and they carried their friend on the bed, the guy who can't walk, they carry him to Jesus. Good point, Jesus heals people. So they carry him to Jesus. They can't get into Jesus, so they get up on the roof. Remember this story? No, this is just, I love this. The sermon title today is Relentless. Everybody say relentless. I want to teach you how to be filled with joy. I want to teach you how smiling can be your favorite in a very practical way. But listen to me very carefully. You can't do this without being relentless. It can't be a casualness. It can't be just a, oh, you know what I mean? Oh, look, we were walking and we walked by 7-Eleven. Let's get a donut. Do you understand? See, that would be a casualness versus a on purposeness to say, hey, at 3 o'clock today, Starbucks has half off Frappuccinos, and I'm going to make sure I set my alarm for 3 o'clock because I missed out yesterday, but I'm not going to miss out today. Do you understand the difference? The one is casualness, the one is purposefulness. Here's what I'm saying. People who are full of joy, they didn't get that way on accident. They are living purposeful lives. They are on purpose. And many times, maybe what I want to say graciously to you, and I want to give you a very specific thing to be relentless again on, but first I want to just teach you very quickly how important it is to be relentless. You know why those men walked? You know why those men walked home with their friend? Not carried their friend, walked home with their friend. Here's why. Because they were relentless. And here's what I'm saying, that they were relentless. They got him up on the roof. How in the world are you going to get the guy up on the roof? You know what? I don't even know, because the Bible doesn't tell us. Here's what I'm telling you. It's hard enough for you to get up on the roof. Imagine trying to get him up on the roof without dropping him. You don't know that they didn't drop him. I'm not saying we did. I'm just saying we don't know that they didn't. He could have dropped him four times. But there's this relentlessness, you know what, to get him up on the roof. Then they get him up on the roof. Relentlessness. No, now what are we going to do? I tell you, we're gonna rip apart this guy's roof. Say, yeah, but the roofs were different back then. Yeah, you tell that to the guy who owns the house. Right? I know they were different, but here's what I'm saying. Even though they were different, even though they weren't like our roofs, how many know it still took a lot of effort for them to do what they did? And because of that effort, see, here's what I'm saying to you this morning. And here's what I want to teach you. You know why most people aren't happy? Because they have pain. That's what it is. Because they're full of pain. And they carry that pain. And you don't have to carry that pain. What I'm having the boldness to say in this room, that there might be half the people in this room who who are carrying pain. There might be a higher percentage than that. It could be 70%. It could be 80%. It could be 90% of the people in this room have some kind of pain. And because of that pain, you're not walking in the contentment and joy that God has called you to, that God wants you to walk in. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 12, and look at verse 14. This is so powerful. What's the first word, everybody? Pursue. Do you see? Relentless. We are not going to not be embittered casually. It's going to take a relentlessness. It's got to take a decision. It's got to take a pursuit. You got to make a decision. I will not be embittered towards anyone for any reason at any time in my life. It's got to be a relentlessness. Here's what I'm saying. If you'll decide to be that person who will not take offense, let me tell you what, you are going to have a great life. Let me talk about flip side. For whatever reason, if you choose to hang on to that bitterness, let me tell you what, you will be a bitter person. That's how you're going to be. And you can justify it for all the tea in China. Doesn't change. Pursue peace with some people, but not your ex-wife. Come on, somebody. All people. No, 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 but not my ex-husband. But not my, you fill in the blank. No, no, no. That's what not what God is saying. God's saying, listen, you need to pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And the Lord is the presence of joy. Next verse, watch this, so powerful. Looking carefully. Ooh. Looking carefully. Ever say looking carefully? Looking carefully. What is this sermon about? Is that examining your life? Do you have bitterness in your heart? Looking carefully, lest someone fall short of the grace of God. What's the grace of God? His supernatural power to do things that you can't do. If you're going to hang on to it, let me tell you what, God says, I'm out of here. Do it on your own. You see that? Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. All lies up here. Listen, I have compassion for you. If you have been hurt by anyone for any reason, some of you very, very hurt. Here's what I'm saying to you. If you hold on to your bitterness, then you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. And you can justify it all you want. You can regurgitate it. You can keep on saying it. You can keep on memorizing it. You can keep on, no, 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 no. All I'm telling you is God says, nope. Let me tell you what, if you hang on to it, you're going to have trouble. And by this, many people are defiled. There's a great defilement in people who call themselves Christians. Here's why. Because they will not forgive. All right. How many glad you came still? How many ready to get free today? Okay. So, everybody say relentless. Okay. We've got to be relentless in a couple things. Number one, we've got to be relentless to forgive. Everybody say relentless to forgive. You don't want to have trouble. You want to be real, real happy where you're really happy, not just on the outside but the inside. Here's what you have to do. You have to be relentless to forgive. Relentless to forgive. Matthew chapter 18, verses 20 up here on the screen. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? You've heard this story. You know what? Peter's thinking, I'm all that in a bag of chips. I'm going to act holy seven times. That's a lot. You know what? Jesus comes back and says, Peter, you don't got it right. You know what? Jesus said to him, I do not say up to you seven times, but I say seven times 70. 70 times 7, that's how many times. In other words, Peter, he's saying, stop counting. Put your calculator away. The Bible says, love doesn't keep record of wrongs. If you're counting, you're messed up. Amen. And then he tells a story, and I'll tell you the story real quick. He tells a story, and he says, here's what I want you to understand. There's this guy, and he owes this other guy $10 million. Everybody say $10 million. And he says, you know what? This guy, he owes the king $10 million. The king throws him in jail. The guy says, no, don't throw me in jail. I'll try my hardest to pay you back. I mean, no, there's no way you're going to pay somebody $10 million back. The king says, I'm just going to have compassion on you. Not because anything you did, just because of who I am. Very important point. Not because many of you won't forgive because you're waiting for something to happen to them. You're waiting for them to do. No. The king didn't forgive him because of anything that he did. He forgave him because of who he was. Is that not right? So, boom, you're forgiven. The guy goes outside. He's walking in the town. He sees somebody who owes him a significant amount of money. Listen, $10,000. Now, the reason why this is important is because Jesus is telling the story. He can make up any numbers he wants. And here's what he says. 10 million, 10,000. How many know somebody owes you $10,000? That's not like 10 bucks. Oh, just forget. You know, 20 bucks, no big deal. How many know 10,000 is a significant amount of money? He gets in his face, says, give me what you owe me. The guy says, well, I can't do it. Give me some time. He says, no, you have no time. Throws him in jail. Later on, the king finds out what happened. Now, the king grabs the guy, talks to him, says, I'm going to throw you back in jail. Here's why. Because I forgave you $10 million. And you wouldn't forgive that guy $10,000. So, Pastor, what's your point? Here's my point. $10,000 is not an insignificant amount of money. I'm not looking at you in the face saying that you forgiving somebody else isn't significant. I'm saying you must do it. Look at all that God forgave you of. Hello? Now, I said all that to get you. Remember, if you hold that bitterness, it's going to be trouble for you. Watch the sameness, because you see this throughout the Bible. Same thing. Watch. Go down to after this story, he says this on verse 33. Look at this. You should not also have had compassion. Should you not have had compassion of your fellow servants, just as I had pity on you? Freely you have received, freely give. Has somebody been forgiven? Did somebody have Jesus forgive you of all your sins? Freely you have received. Should you not have had that same compassion over someone else? God's saying you should. Now watch this. This is so, and his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should have paid that was due. Now, you think that's radical? Is that radical? Okay. Watch this. Look at the next verse. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if, now here's the words, if each of you, you know what each of you means? Here, let me tell you what each of you means. Each of you means that you sitting here today who have a specific pain that you have deemed as, it's just too radically cruel what they did to me. Here's what that means. You are not the exception. You think you are, and you can keep on doing it, but let me tell you what's going to happen. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you, no one is excluded. I don't care what you went through. Yeah, but he raped, Pastor, but he raped me. Listen. Why am I teaching this? Here's why. Because if you keep that bitterness, it's going to jack you up. And smiling will never be your favorite. And it's not just about smiling. It's about having an attitude of misery all your life. And God wants to set you free from that today. And so he says, because he knows we're going to be reading this. Jesus knew prophetically. He knew what was going on. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows you have kung fu gripped this pain, and you've justified it, and you've made a decision that, you know what? That's why he says, pursue peace. Watch this. Our Father also will do to each of you from his heart, does not forgive his brothers his trespasses. You are tortured. Your life is torturous. And you've never been confronted to somebody to tell you, here's why you've always said, let me tell you why I have justified my underlining unhappiness. Here's why. Because what they did to me 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 25 years ago, 10 months ago, I don't know when the offense took place. All I'm saying to you is Jesus says, guys, if you won't forgive, then let me tell you what, there's going to be some crazy consequences. We have to be relentless to forgive. We have to be relentless. Look up here on the screens, Luke 17, verse 4. And if he sins against you seven times, and seven times returns to you, I repent, you should forgive him. Oh yes, praise the Lord. Oh yes, praise the Lord. Only one thing. That's not what it says. Did you catch what I left out? Did you catch what I left out? What did I leave out? Seven times a day. Now, I can't tell you for sure because the Bible doesn't say. I just believe this, that this scripture is certainly for everyone. But I think that God had a specific application to people who are married. Does somebody want to say amen to this? I remember, you know what, getting in fights with Tamara and her pointing out to me something that I did against her that was wrong. And at 10 o'clock in the morning, I just recognized unbelievable. And I'd go, honey, I'm so sorry. That was so dumb. 10 o'clock. To an hour later, have offended her in the exact same way.
So, Pastor, you didn't do that.
I don't want to go on and tell you, you know what, not only did I do that, how many times I've done that. Here's all I'm saying is, you know what, do you want to have a good life, or because ultimately it comes down to this, do you want to have a good life, or do you want to hang on to your bitterness? And you've got to figure it out. Because let me tell you, and let me just say this for you married couples. How many of you are married and you recognize your spouse, okay, is far from perfect? Okay. Hello? Okay, now I'm just asking. Okay, I'm just asking. You far from perfect, right? Far from perfect. How many recognize so are you? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Hello. See, we see easily our spouse's problems, but how many know our spouse sees our problems? I'm convinced that this scripture is for everyone, but it has a specific application to our lives as we're married, imperfect people. Amen. Number one, you've got to make a decision that you're going to forgive. Number two, you know what? You've got to be relentless to forget. Oh, love does not keep track. It doesn't count. You know what? Now, just somebody, anybody, raise your hand if you could quote to me some line from some movie. Some line from some movie. Okay, Tony. Can you dig it? Okay. It's good, good, good. Who else? Somebody else. Somebody else. Marilyn? What? You complete me. Good. What else? Show me the money. Okay. Okay, what else? I have a bad feeling about this. Okay. Arnold, I'll be back. Okay. Paul. You can't handle the truth. Brian. Here's Johnny. In the back. Okay. Now here's my thought. Okay. Because here's what happened. I've been in the car driving somewhere, and many times driving teenagers somewhere, and they will start a quote from a movie. You know what? Maybe it's Grinch, or maybe it's Elf. And they won't give me one line. They will give me lines. Hello. Now, somebody raise your hand and tell me why you think that is. Why? They've watched this movie over and over and over and over again. You say, here's my point. You say, what's your point? Here's my point. My point is, you know why that has become such a line in your life? You know why you can quote Elf? You know what? The Grinch. You know why you can do this? You know what I mean? I'm in love with you. No, this is. See, I'm not even doing it. I'm not even doing it. How does he say it? Help me out. You know when he says, "You are my father, and I'm." You want me to sing a song? Somebody help me out. I'm here with my dad. Okay. Yeah, I love you. I love you. I love you. And what does the dad say? He goes, what does the dad say? That was weird. That was weird. Here's my point. My point is we can do this. We can do this all day long. Here's why. Because we've watched these over and over and over again. Can I tell you why? You remember so vividly the hurt of what that person has done to you. Here's why. Because you have recorded it, and you have played it over and over and over again. All right, you guys want to take a test? Okay, this is do I have bitterness in my heart tests. Now, here's the key. The key is, you know what? You're examining your own paper, number one. Number two, the key is you have to assume before you start that you're not going to get 100 on this paper. You know what that's called? Honesty, okay? Oh, no, I don't have any bitterness with anybody. Hallelujah. Okay, well, let's just take the test first, okay? These are forms of unforgiveness, revenge, hate, slander, gossip, sarcasm, Pastor, where'd you get that list? You came up with that list. No, let me tell you, you came up with this list. This list was come up by, what's his name, Tamara? Who's the marriage guy? By Jimmy Evans. Not my list. Jimmy Evans, who is probably the most incredible teacher of how to have a good marriage. He and his wife. You know what? This is his list. And let me tell you what. If you're married and you don't know who Jimmy Evans is, Jimmy Evans should be on your podcast. How many have a smart? He's got 20-minute podcasts all the time. He and his wife, they ought to be. you ought to be listening. If you're married, you ought to be listening to Jimmy Evans at least 3 times a week. He is so good. This is his list. This is not my list. You know what my wife is? Knock it off. Knock it off. Stop complaining about your spouse. Start being, start being, you know what, everything to your spouse that you want. Stop looking at them. Pastor, that's pretty forceful. All right, let me say it again. Stop looking at them. Did you receive it better that time? Okay, sarcasm, verbal abuse, name calling, labels. Well, you're just like labels. These are forms of unforgiveness, according to Jimmy Evans. Jerk, moron, idiot, witch, and other names that I will just move on. Listen to me. Divorce. Yes, divorce. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19 that if you you divorce your wives because of hardness in your heart. I'm just telling what Jesus said. Rejection or avoidance for punishment's sake, withholding goodness, withholding affection, withholding sex. Yeah, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. Yeah, but they did. See where it's wrong. Did they ask for forgiveness? Yeah, they came back to you 3 times that day. Said, man, I can't believe I did it 3 times. And Jesus says, you must forgive them. This is not a choice, guys. Amen. Well, Pastor, I'm not married. Seems like you're just talking to married people. No. Well, listen, then take this in your purse and swing it. Amen. Because maybe someday you're going to be married. Amen? Amen. And trust me, if you're single, there's plenty of applications you can make to this. You know, young kids, to your parents. Your parents are far from perfect. And you've decided that you can be embittered because of mistakes they've made. You can't do that either. Amen. Bigotry. Prejudice, racism, sexism. I'm going to park there for a little bit after I finish this list. Bitterness, rehearsing hurts. We talked about this. Wishing that something would happen to them. All right, I got to judge where we're going because I'm running out of time. Are you learning something? See, you know what, guys in the back, quickly to Isaiah 53. You know this. See what the Bible says. What is Jesus healed you. You don't have to be hurt. You've been healed. Remember what Jesus said. Surely, for sure, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Why are you paying for something twice? He's already taken care of that pain. And we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. See, that form, that root of bitterness has taken root, and it's causing you to be a bitter person. And you can justify it all the way home. It doesn't change. And by his stripes, you know what? We are healed. Yeah. We are healed. I love what Eckrich says. Couples, listen to me. Every 6 months, excuse me, almost every 6 months we have a couples conference. Almost every 6 months. And can I tell you, one of the things, and I love this church, I'm so proud of you guys on so many different levels. But let me tell you why we have a couples conference almost every 6 months. We'll have one coming up soon. We get the best teachers. We fly them in from all parts of the country, and they teach you. Okay, that's not exactly what happens. But we get the best teachers, and we get videos, and we show them to you. Amen? Amen. How many know the material is still the same? Amen? And can I tell you what grieves my heart probably as much as anything that I see in this church? And I'm just being real with you, is this. How many couples aren't at the couples conferences? Yeah, but Pastor, when do you go? Here's when I go. I go every single time we have a couples conference. Why? Here's why. Because I need it. Here's what I know. You need it. Fathers, come to the couples conference. Here's why. Because you need to show your kids how to love their mom. Wives, come to the couples conference. Why? Here's why. Because you need to show your son and daughter how to love your husband, their dad. Because you need it, and I need it. And it's an arrogance to say, no, but Pastor, I couldn't because I, and whatever the reason. To me, I'm just being honest with you. There is no excuse whatsoever. Rearrange your schedule and be at the couples conference and be there every single time we have one. So Eckrich says, and I could almost do the couples conference because I've listened to it so many times. Now we have Eckrich and we have Jimmy Evans. But let me just tell you this. Eckrich says this. I want to talk about sexism for a minute. There is, I'm in our country, there's so much division in our country. Black against white against black, Hispanic against Asian, you know what? But a lot of division comes from male against female. Female against male. Now I'm going to tell you what Eckrich says. Eckrich says we live in this love-dominated society. And most of the women are teaching in our universities. They do not believe in God. That's just where they're at. And they think the way they think because God made women your brains that way. God didn't make your husband's brain. Your husband doesn't have a woman's brain. Okay. But you don't understand that. Because he doesn't think like you. You know how he thinks? He thinks like a man. And God likes it that way. Now listen, I'm not giving men, I don't give you any justification. Men, Christian men who say, well, that's how God made me. I'm just visual. That's why I go to the mall and look all the time. My wife ought to just chill out. You know, that's how God made me. Let me tell you who I check out. I check out my wife. I check her out all the time. All the time, I check her out. You could probably bet, but you could probably bust me checking her out. Here's the thing. When you bust me checking her out, you ain't busted me at all, dude. Because God made me visual. But see, he made me visual for a reason. He made me visual to connect with my wife. And our front-sided strengths have back-sided weaknesses. I'm not justifying any guy looking at that's how God made me. Well, yeah, thank you. When you got reborn, you got born again. Amen. And I'm just teaching the purpose, and I could go into a lot of detail, but the purpose that you are visual is to be connected with your wife. That's why you're visual, not to be disconnected. Amen. Here's all I'm saying. I say all that to say, but here's what we do. There's this great sexism in America now, and there's this great division, and it's like, well, you don't think like me. I love what Eckhart says. He says, women think pink, men think blue. And over again in the three-day conference, he says over and over again, not wrong, but different. We don't judge it that way. You know what? We judge it. That's wrong. That's wrong. My husband doesn't think the way I think. No. No, what's wrong is you're judging your husband for that. That's wrong. Pink isn't wrong. What is it, my wife? What is she always? What is my wife always hound me about? Where I've been? Where I go? What do you do? Get off my pit. No. Just because you don't think that way. You think generic. You forget where you've been at 9 o'clock in the morning. You know what? And what we do is we judge each other. And here's what we do. And it goes from judgment to bitterness. God says, what are you doing? They're not like you. I didn't make them like you. I didn't make them like you on purpose. Okay, you have to come next week and get the rest.
It's okay. There was something right at the end of that Hebrew scripture. Can you find his Hebrew scripture and come right at the end for me? I want the second part of it. We end up in these places, whether it, everything we've been talking about, which we've been talking a lot about murmuring and complaining, and about not having peace, and then today not being able to forgive. And we end up in these places when we hang on to stuff, when we deal with stuff. You won't end up in any of this mess if you go to God and God helps you deal with this stuff. Amen. If we go to Him, we end up without all of the, let me just say it this way, Antichrist stuff. But if we're not doing it Christ, then we are absolutely doing it Antichrist. We don't like to look at it that cut and dry, but it is. If we're not going to Him, then we're hanging on to it. Or if He's not helping us deal with it, if we're not dealing with it His way, then we're dealing with it our way. And our way is not His way, which is then automatically somebody else's way. Does that make sense? Let me read some of these. Did you find the... Okay, look at... That we become, see, when we don't forgive, what happens to us? We become defiled. Defiled with what? With anti-God, anti-Christ. It's not God. Look at some of these scriptures on complaining and just listen. Because it all ties in. You know what? If it's in our heart, it's coming out of our mouth. Do everything, this is Philippians 2:14, do everything without complaining, arguing, and criticizing so that no one can criticize you. It's that defilement that takes place. As Christians, we end up that people can criticize us. Why? Because we defile ourselves because we're not Christ. Philippians 2:14, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in this world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. See, it's all about us carrying Christ, showing Christ to other people, because this stuff jacks us up. Isn't that Satan's plan? To steal, to kill, to destroy. And what's God's plan? Giving us life, and an abundant life. And it's right there, right in the midst of grumbling and complaining. And then it talks about our whole Christianity right there in Philippians 2, 14 through 15. Exodus 16:8, Moses said, since it will be God who gives you meat for your meal in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, it's God who will have listened to your complaints against him. Who are we in all of this? You haven't been complaining to us. You've been complaining to God. See, we talked about this. God takes it real personal. Remember that one just before there in Philippians? That he's not labored in vain. He's gone through a lot that we can have him in us. That we can be like him. And so he takes it really, really personal. When we think, well, we're just living our life and making our choices. No, no. James 5:9, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. We love to talk about Jesus our friend, Jesus our Savior, Jesus our lover of our soul. But you don't hear people talk about the judge so much of Jesus, and that's real too. And that would be good for us to know that that is part of the Word of God too, that we would get really serious about what he's serious about. Each one of you, it's very personal. We saw that in the first scripture that he had. Last scripture I have for you, 1 Peter 4:9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. If smiling isn't our favorite, if what's coming out of our mouth is not edifying, we really need to back up and begin to search our hearts, because something's wrong. And that wrong isn't going to get righted just by you going through each day. And sooner or later, we're going to stand before him. I believe that the Spirit of God right now is convicting probably every one of us in this room for some area that we've been holding on to, that we've been managing and dealing with and pushing aside and not dealing with, right? But we need to prepare ourselves. Let me just pray for you real quick, and then I'm going to give you the announcements, and then we'll close, okay? Father, thank you for the word that brings life to us. And thank you that we have the Holy Spirit, who is the one who leads us and guides us into truth. He is the one who is the convictor. So, Father, I thank you that you are ministering to each one of us that which concerns us concerning you. I pray that we would just continue to hear your voice and seek you throughout the day. And then it's that we would obey you by coming to you, confessing what's going on in our heart, speaking with you about whatever the issue is, and allowing you to walk us through being able to repent and to be cleansed from that which is hindering us. I thank you for your love for us and that we have a incredible relationship with you, that you are trustworthy and faithful and loving. That's who you are. You are love. You are I am. Everything that we need to line our hearts up with you and to walk in freedom is in you. Thank you, Father, that you lead and guide and direct every single person, Father, that we would become a church with clean hearts and clean hands. And that as we do that, that we'll be a strong shining light to many as you are able to just radiate through us without the junk hindering. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.